get to talk to Shane Murphy again. This week we're going to talk a little bit about coping with cancer, dealing with cancer, and the emotions that are involved in it. So good afternoon, Shane. How are you?
Good afternoon, Eric. I'm great. Yourself?
I'm great. Thank you very much indeed. We were just talking off air there. You is that first day you weren't stopped coming down from Cork by the guards. There's no one on the road today. It is great to have that little bit extra freedom again, I think.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? Even though you're going up to the guards and you have every right to go to y'all for work, you know,
yep.
You still feel a little bit apprehensive of coming up to the guards, you know.
Yeah. But I suppose I suppose we kind of should look at it as a small win, really, that we were getting, you know, we're getting a little bit back again, and there's another little extra, a positive thing that we're actually getting as well. So, you know, anything at all we get like that, take it and treat it as a positive.
Well, I think this one, we're all kind of the talk and everything around it is that this was our last lockdown. I know we can't take anything for granted, but I do think that people are having that kind of feeling, and the government are talking about that they're hoping that this is the last lockdown, and that's why we stayed in it. So was that they wanted to make sure everything was right, and you know last week we hit 1 million vaccines, so you know it's all positive and it's all rolling out. You know, well, at some rate, anyhow.
Yeah,
we won't say it's fast or slow, but it's rolling out the best that we possibly can, considering how hard it is to get hold of vaccines for ourselves. So I do think that is a major plus, and I can definitely feel, you know, in the air today a little bit of people kind of, you know, can feel a little bit of a lift in people and stuff like that we are out of it and we can travel without worrying that we're going to be stopped by the guards at any stage. Or
yeah, because I mean, I was only talking to someone there this morning, and I was on the beach yesterday, and we go there every week. We've been going there since the lockdown, and I noticed the last couple of weeks how quiet it's after been getting there, because obviously people were afraid to move, or people were being turned away, or whatever like that. But it was it'd be interesting to see what it's like next week now, and hopefully we'll get more people out there again, you know, to get people out there and get fresh air and walking and all that kind of stuff as well, to be brilliant.
Well, I think definitely you're going to see it busier, and, you know, it should do, and, you know, like,
yeah.
People will want to reconnect. People living in the city will want to get down to the sea. People living by the sea will want to get up to the city.
I know. Right, so Shane, whether you have cancer or not, no one likes to be worried, sad or irritable. But these feelings can be common reactions to life with cancer. Tell us a little bit about, you know, first of all, yeah, is it okay to be having these thoughts? And is it okay for other people to have that mightn't have the cancer or anything?
Well, yeah, I suppose I wanted to talk. I mean, obviously, I work in the Cancer Support Centre, so I wanted to talk a little bit today. We've touched on, you know, since we started on this journey together on the radio, like back in October, you know, we've touched on feelings and we've touched on emotions and stuff like that. So, you know, I really, you know, I suppose that's the main thing that comes up when people get a diagnosis of cancer or a diagnosis of anything,
yeah.
You know, at all. You know, I mean, the first thing you do is you start feeling overwhelmed, and your first reaction to do is to push away that feeling of overwhelmment, push away those emotions, because a lot of people seem to think that if they let that emotion happen, that they will become overwhelmed and they won't be able to cope. But, you know, our body was designed in such a way that these emotions were meant to happen. You know, our body, which is a fantastic machine that treats us so well and looks after us so well, everything happens for a reason within our body. So emotions are there for a reason. They're there for a reason to show us that something major is happening within ourselves. And most people would feel straight away to push away those emotions. If I get sad, if I get upset, you know, people worry about how that will affect someone else if they get sad or upset. You know, they try and protect other people, and in that protection, they're not helping themselves. So, you know, the first step really is to try and let those emotions come over. If you're feeling sad, feel sad.
Yeah, because I was just going to say, Shane, like, I'm just trying to put my and I'm not trying to disrespect anyone here, like, but just try to, I suppose, comprehend what's gone through someone's mind that has been diagnosed with cancer like that, like fear, anger, resentment, disappointment, all those kind of things. Like, there's an awful lot going on, and I suppose how. I can't even bring myself together how to think about these things or how to grasp them or how to cope with it or anything like that. But you're just saying, just let them come and acknowledge these emotions.
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, I suppose if you can, you know, one of the ways that I do it is something called DBT. You know, it's like CBT, but it's DBT, which is dialectical behavior therapy. And it's basically working, you know, you're working with people living in the moment, which is what we've talked about a lot,
mm-hmm.
and helping them within that moment to deal with cope with the stresses and emotions that are going on in their body. So if you can sit with these feelings and emotions and try and identify what these emotions are coming up. So if you can identify sadness, and then if you let yourself feel sad, the struggle a lot of people get is they get completely overwhelmed by all the feelings.
Yeah,
feelings,
yeah.
You talked about there, anger, sadness, you know, all the negative emotions just
yes. come
and they overflow you. Whereas if you can sit in the moment and, you know, feel the feelings of, say, sadness and actually identify that that is sadness, and if you can identify where you feel it in your body, that's really important as well. You know, because, you know, when you feel sadness, yes, we're crying, but we can also feel, you know, a pain in our heart or an ache in our shoulder. And when you can identify and feel that feeling where you feel it in your body, you can separate it out from the rest of the feelings. Because then when you're feeling anger, you're feeling that in your stomach and that you're feeling it in your head. And, you know, there's other parts of your body that each of these emotions will trigger within yourself. So really, yeah, it sits with the emotion. Feel the emotion, but don't get yourself get overwhelmed by all the emotions. You know, I mean, one of the first things that people actually think about is, why me? You know, why did this happen to me? You know, and there's a lot of blame inside and using the words. So watch what words you tell yourself.
Well, I suppose that, yeah, like, I mean, and that's one of the first questions. Well, why me? Like, why did I have to get it? I mean, and with that question alone, it throws out a whole load of emotions. So, like, if as you say, there's the anger part of it, and there's the pity, self-pity, and all that kind of stuff. So all these things are coming in at you, I presume, together. So how do you say, right, well, I'm going to park the pity here for a while and I'm just concentrating the anger, or what way does it work?
Well, you know, the first step is watch the words you're telling yourself. So if you're saying yourself you're feeling angry, whereas if you say to yourself, I'm feeling angry about this, you're taking away, you know, you're taking it away from yourself a little bit there. You know, I know those only sound like small words, but if you say, I'm feeling angry, or if you say, I'm feeling angry about this, you're actually showing yourself and teaching yourself that the anger that I'm feeling isn't all about me, it's about the diagnosis.
Yes, yes.
How this is going to affect my family. And you won't feel too much of shame or pity when you can actually say, I'm feeling angry about this diagnosis. I'm feeling angry about that this has come to my family, rather than saying, I'm feeling angry. It's all my fault, you know, or blaming yourself and stuff like that around a diagnosis like this. So it's so important to watch the words that you're telling yourself, watching that, you know, that you know, if you say to yourself, like, that this is really angering me and making me angry and making me upset, you know. And I suppose one of the key things really is to talk to other people about what you're feeling. You know, we feel this in any diagnosis, you know, that we don't want to burden someone else about what is going on for ourselves. And I keep saying this and more other stuff that we talk about, that it's so important to share with other people what is going on for you. Because in your worry about the fact that you're going to burden someone else about this, you can unburden yourself, you know, so easily by just actually talking to someone else about what is going on, and you're not going to carry it around. A lot of people struggle with, they get told by their doctor that, we think it might be cancer, we're referring you to go talk to a specialist about this. And in the interim period, while they're waiting to talk to the specialist, they don't want to tell anyone because they're worried. Bear in mind, you know, they might get to the specialist and told, it's not
yeah.
as you thought, or it's not it. But the fact that you're actually carrying it, you know, and I mean, when you refer to a specialist, it doesn't happen overnight, as we know, in this country. It could take a couple of months, it could take a couple of weeks before you you actually get to talk to someone. So you're carrying around that burden and that feeling, and that's affecting your mood. And, you know, your wife or your partner or your husband will be saying, oh, what's wrong with you? There's something off with you.
Yeah.
You'll be getting more and more irritable, and these emotions will keep on building within you. So that's why it's so important on any diagnosis that you share what is going on for you with someone you care about, with a loved one, and just tell them, look, you know, this is. I might be going forward the next few weeks. I might be feeling a little bit sad, a little bit low. I just really want you to know what is going on for me and why I'm being in such a bad form with you. You know, that sharing, you know, I mean, Barry talks about it, sharing is caring. You know, it means so much. It's such a powerful thing to do, because I understand when you have a potential of a diagnosis or you have a diagnosis, that that the first thing you want to do is protect your loved ones. But in protecting your loved ones, you're not actually helping yourself. You're causing anxiety within yourself. You're causing, and you know, keeping something major like that within yourself, you're actually causing a physical trauma within yourself. So you're actually not helping.
You're not actually helping yourself at all, are you?
It's called a negative loop. You know, when you get caught into this negative thoughts and these negative loops, and you just, it keeps on going around in you. And in that protection, you're probably keeping a smiling face and you're trying to be happy when you're feeling like crap inside.
Yeah.
And, you know, we mentioned that in a few of the other things about, you know, that creating this mask that you have that, you know, shows to the world that you're happy, but inside you feel bad. You know, it's all about connecting with yourself and connecting with your soul and actually just showing the world, you know, who you really are. You know, we struggle in Ireland about showing who we are and how we're actually feeling. And if we are falling apart, we struggle about showing that to the world. But it's so important for you to show the world how you're really feeling. You know, I mean, around mental health and around a diagnosis, it's so important to tell people what is going on.
But as you said, Shane, like it's also very important for that person that, you know, be it your a parent or a sibling or a partner or whatever like that, you know, it's important to let them in as well. And, you know, because they have to process what's happening here as well. And, you know, if they're shut out, it's very hard on both sides then for something to be worked out. So, you know, you need to keep that door open and keep that communication line open all the time.
Well, yeah, that's it. And I suppose, you know, in your cancer support, that's why we're there as well, is that sometimes people don't feel that they can actually, you know, tell someone, a loved one or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Usually we're probably one of the first people that they reach out to, because we're a stranger and we don't really know who they are. You know, sometimes it's actually great to reach out to a stranger, and at least then you're not worrying about the burden that you're putting on them. So, you know, that's why it's so important to have places like the Cancer Support Centre in Youghal, you know, the places where people can just ring up, you know, feel that they're being held, feel that they're being, you know, I suppose we have more knowledge around cancer than if you tell your loved one, you know, the first thought straight of mind is cancer, you know, and the next thought after that is death, where it's not necessarily like, you know, we've come a long way in the world with cancer. We've come a long way in how to help cancer, how to actually help people who are struggling with it. And we've come a long way on how to cure people. You know,
yeah.
So it's not a death sentence when you hear the word cancer like it was years ago. So that's why it's so important, if you don't feel like reaching out to a friend or a loved one, if you're not ready to it, because I've had clients going into the place and they've told nobody, but, you know, within a couple of weeks or a month, they're ready to tell people. And when they're ready to tell people, they have dealt with that emotion, that overwhelming feeling, that overwhelming the overwhelmingness that they've had at that moment, that, you know, that they can't stop crying. And they can tell their friend or tell whoever in a kind of constructive way, where they're like kind of going, look, this is the diagnosis, you know, because, you know, if you can be steady in yourself and you can be steady with what you're sharing with someone, it's going to steady them as well, because the person who you're going to talk to is going to end up going to be looking after you, holding your hand, protecting you, caring you, depending on what stage you are around cancer and stuff like that. So that's why it is so important not to keep all this inside, to tell someone what is going on for you. And I mean, this goes across the board. It's not just cancer. It's, you know, it's mental health. It's everything. Anything that is going on inside you that does not feel right, you tell someone, you pick up the phone or you just talk to someone and you say, you know what, I'm just not feeling the best. I don't know what's going on for me, but I really need to talk to someone about that. And if you can talk to someone and express your feelings with that person, you know, it is so important.
Yeah, and that's it. And I wonder, Shane, are we getting any better at expressing our feelings like that and talking about our feelings? And, you know, I know, like, probably even 20 years ago, I would say feelings and emotions and like that, certainly for a man, would have been taboo. But are things getting a little bit easier for people to talk about now?
Yes and no. Unfortunately, yes, there is a small percentage of people in Ireland who are talking an awful lot more around mental health. Definitely the younger people that are coming up are way more comfortable than the older people mm-hmm. are to be talking about this. You know, the people, you know, 40 plus upwards still struggle so much to talk to someone about their mental health, struggle to talk to people about that they don't know what's going on for their feelings and their emotions. I really would love to think that, you know, that we've come a lot. Now, obviously, the pandemic has really put a huge focus on people to think about their mental health, because they really are struggling.
Yeah.
There's relationships breaking down. There's so many things going wrong that people are going, okay. And their doctors are all, which is really fantastic, all doctors are now referring them to psychotherapy or some form of counselling just to try and help them to get through it. So things have improved, and definitely things have improved since the pandemic has started. But we still have a long way to go as far as mental health around people actually accepting mental health. You know, I mean, one of the struggles for me in my own private practice is, you know, if you go to a dentist and you have a pain in your tooth, they don't mind paying 60, 70 euros
yeah.
for 15 minutes to get your tooth pulled, but they wouldn't come for an hour session to a psychotherapist because it's in the mind.
Yes.
It's such a struggle for us to accept that our mind is doing this to us.
And is that just down to fear of, you know, afraid of what you might say or what you might find out about yourself or anything like that, I wonder?
It's the fear of the unknowing. It's the fear of actually accepting that you're doing this to yourself. If you have a toothache, bear in mind, you might have a toothache because you've eaten too much sweets and you've no problem accepting that you've done that to yourself.
Yeah.
But when you are thinking thoughts that are not helping, or thinking, or having done something that you know, a client of mine said the other day, like, that when they were a child, they broke a window, and they couldn't tell anyone, and their brother got blamed, and bear in mind that they're now in their 40s, they're still holding on to the guilt around that.
Yes.
It can be something as simple as that someone is actually holding on to this guilt, and it's overwhelming them, and it's eating them up inside. And, you know, just coming to talk to someone and actually helping with a professional someone that can actually weed through exactly what that's doing and how that has caused within them. So it's very hard for people to accept that something in their mind is actually causing a distress to themselves. As I say, they've no problem eating sweets or they've no problem doing anything like that might actually affect them physically. But when it comes to our mind, you know, it's not just an Irish thing, it's a worldwide thing.
Yeah.
When we think that we're doing this to ourselves, we struggle.
And it's probably one of the most powerful things we have in our body is our brain and the way we think and all that, isn't it?
Well, that's it, you know. I mean, you go to the doctor and you're suffering from depression and they give you a tablet. And I know people that are on that tablet for 20 years. That tablet is a band-aid. It will actually
yeah.
help you and stop you feeling stressed. But you're not actually going to the root of the problem. You know, that's like pulling a tooth out rather than actually getting root canal. You know what I mean? You're taking away the problem, but you're not taking away the problem. The problem still exists. The hole in your tooth still exists.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's so important to actually get to the bottom of what's going on for you. And, you know, one of the other things is people think that when they come to psychotherapy or counselling, that they're going to be at it for years. You know, it can literally be, I've had clients that have had 2-3 sessions, and that's it. And that's actually sorted out what is going on for them. Because it's all about sorting out what's going on for you in the here and now. Don't have to get into too much. It can just be as simple as someone just not understanding exactly what's going on in their head and suddenly making sense of it when they talk to a professional person. So, you know, the stigmata that mental health and psychotherapy goes on for years is wrong. You know, I don't have any clients that are with me for longer than 6 months. So, I mean, you know, we really need to change how we think about mental health. We really need to think about how this actually helps you in the long run. Because you come to a psychotherapist or a counsellor to get help or support, this is actually something that will actually stand to you in the long run. You will feel better about yourself. You'll feel lighter. The amount of clients that have said to me that they feel so unburdened from what they have actually shared with me, you know, something that they could be carrying around that's so small, but has been developed into something that's so big, they've catastrophized it in themselves and made it feel so big that they actually think it's a huge problem. But when they share it, it's suddenly lifted off them, and they tell me that they are living a really life now at the moment, and they don't feel as burdened by what was going on for them.
And that's all we want at the end of the day. Well, look, Shane, we're after running out of time once again. Thank you very much indeed. And if people want to get in contact, they can just phone the All Cancer Hospital. Have you got a number there for us, Shane? Or
you have the number in front of you, unfortunately. I'm sitting in front of my computer. I'll get
caught. Right. Okay. Can I give them your mobile?
Do ya.
Okay, well, I'll give that out there in a minute, and I'll just pull out that number as well for the All Cancer House, and you're free to call there anytime with any questions at all, and they'll be only glad to help you. Okay, Shane, thank you very much once more. We'll talk to you again next week, okay?
Thank you, Rick.
Thank you, bye-bye.